All right, our Challenge Ministries radio congregation, want you to get your Bibles if you can. Turn to John chapter 8. Hopefully we're going to look at verses 38 through 59. And I've entitled this Religious and Lost because I'm aware that every day of the world when I'm on the air, I am speaking to some who are, beyond any doubt, religious and yet lost. They have bought into a system of religion that they are trusting to get them into glory when they die, and yet they fall short because the system they're in falls short. I'm not pushing any specific system of faith, okay? I'm not pushing any denomination. What I am presenting is the kingdom of God, and I'm trying to help people understand, and many of them have been in church for a number of years. Many of them have been serving in some capacity in the church for a number of years, and yet I've been in ministry long enough. I've been around church long enough. I've been around the organism of the body of Christ as well as the organization known as the body of Christ long enough to know that sometimes even those in positions of authority, some of those in positions of service are not born again. I know that. And what I want to do is just encourage each and every one of you. Those of you who have not been born again, I want you to listen carefully to what I have to say today. For those of you who are born again, be encouraged. Be very, very encouraged with what you're going to hear. So I've entitled this, as I said, Religious and Lost, and I just got through explaining the title of the message to you because there's so much confusion and misunderstanding in, quote, the church, unquote, the body of Christ. There's so much misunderstanding. Over the centuries, over 4,000 expressions of religion have been developed. And you see, they're normally developed along the lines of one's personal preference, what they want to believe, what they want the Bible to teach, and they, in doing that, sometimes misrepresent the Bible because they misunderstand the Bible. And really, the Bible is very simple, isn't it? I mean, it really is. When Jesus said, you must be born again. And today I'm talking to some of those of you who have been born again. But you see, there's only one true church. There's only one true church. Of all the denominations, there's one true church. And Christ Jesus himself established that one true church. I didn't say it's a denominational church, so just get off that horse right now. You see, the one true church consists of those who have been born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means that you recognize yourself as a sinner. It means that you understand that a denomination nor a religious expression cannot furnish you with salvation, cannot forgive your sins, cannot put your sins to death, cannot make you a new creation. So, we understand that the church itself, those who have been born again, become new creations in Christ Jesus, they themselves are, quote, the bride of Christ. That is the one that Christ considers his bride. The church is also the body of Christ on earth today. So slow down and listen to what I just got through saying to you. Those of us who have been born again, and I'm talking to some people today who are putting your hope and your trust and your confidence in the fact that you belong to a specific system of religion or a specific denomination. I'm talking to some today who are putting your trust and confidence in the fact that you were christened as an infant. You were presented to the Lord by your parents as an infant. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God says you must be born again. You must be born again. You were born the first time, the natural birth. You're born the second time in a spiritual birth. You're birthed into the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, when you are born again. So once again, the church is the bride of Christ because the day is going to come that Christ is going to return. He's going to rapture the church. He's going to marry the church. The church is his bride. We will live and reign with him throughout all of eternity in a new heavens and a new earth. But in the nasty here and now, and it is nasty, and it's getting more nasty day by day, In the nasty here and now, we are the representatives of Christ on earth today, which means we are the body of Christ on earth today. Christ today is manifesting himself in and through his body. Who is his body? Those who have been born again. Doesn't matter what denomination you belong to, if you're comfortable in that denomination, and if that denomination is teaching the Word of God, line upon line, if you're being discipled, if you're being introduced to the Word of God daily, or every time you go into the church, if you're being introduced to the Word of God. They're not substituting the Word of God with anything else. It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. So, those of us who've been born again, we are the body of Christ on earth today. Now, the greatest enemies of Jesus Christ in his day were, guess who? Who would you guess was the greatest enemies of Christ when he walked the earth? And it's still true today. It was the religious leadership. It was the religious leadership. It wasn't the drunkards, the harlots, no. But it was the religious leadership. You see, the drunkards and the harlots and many of those who were in ungodly lifestyles, who themselves were up to their eyebrows in sin, they, many of them, received Christ, were born again, become new creations, and then worshiped him, served him, listened to what he had to say. It was the religious group that opposed him. And a lot of that's true today. The greatest enemies of Christ Jesus in his day on the earth was the religious leadership. And I'm telling you, I fear that that same thing is true today. It's one thing to be religious. Listen to me carefully. It is one thing to be religious. It is another thing to be born again. You can be religious without becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. You can be religious without being adopted into the family of God. But if you're going to be adopted into the family of God, if you're going to have Christ Jesus recognize you as one of his own, then you must be born again. It's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. That Nicodemus was religious. Oh, man, was he ever religious. He knew there was something missing, though. With all of his religious activity, with all of his work in the religious activity, with all of his involvement in the religious activity, something was missing. And he knew it. He came to Christ by night. He wanted some answers. And what did Jesus say? Nicodemus, you must be born again. All the religious activity in the world, Nicodemus, will not get you into heaven. All the religious activity in the world, Nicodemus, will not get your sins forgiven. Nicodemus, you can confess your sins to the leadership in your spiritual operation, but they can't forgive your sin. No, sin has to be put to death. Did you know that? Sin has to be put to death. It is on the basis of having your sin put to death in Christ Jesus when you are born again. It is then that your sins are put to death in him and you, the sinner, are forgiven. The greatest enemies of Christ on earth when he was on earth was a religious leadership. Did you hear me? The greatest enemies of Christ Jesus when he walked this earth was the religious leadership. Now, we discover this in John chapter 8 as well as other scriptures. But today I want to bring you to John chapter 8. And I just got through saying to you that some of the greatest enemies of Christ when he walked the earth and even today are those in religious leadership. So let's explore that spiritual reality, shall we? Let's look at that. That's a spiritual reality. And let's look at it more deeply. Jesus is in the temple. And he is continuing. He's been in there teaching. And the religious leadership start attacking him. They always were attacking him. So Jesus is contending with the religious leadership as we pick it up today. In John chapter 8 and verse 38, Jesus said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you've seen with your Father. Now remember, he's in the temple. He's in the temple. And he's talking to the national leadership, much of the national religious leadership in the nation at that day. He's speaking to the Pharisees, No doubt there may have been some Sadducees mixed up in that same group. But Jesus says to them, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. I teach, he's saying, what I have learned from my Father, Jehovah God. Now, Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, nobody, Adrian Rogers was right, nobody can fully comprehend or explain the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One and yet three. Jesus has come to earth, God in the flesh, God the Son in the flesh. And so he's saying to them, I teach what I have learned from my Father, Jehovah God. You teach what you have learned from your father, Satan. Folks, he's talking to the religious leadership. And what was true in that day is true in this day. So much of what we call religious leadership in the religions of the world. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misrepresent me. And don't misquote me. I am saying to you that we're up against the same thing today that Christ was up against when he was on earth. What was he up against? An organized system of religion. He has come to fulfill the law. They were still under the law. And you've got system after system after system of religion that is still under the law. Jesus said he came to set the captives free. Free from sin and free from the law. You have to understand what we're up against. Folks, this was the religious leadership of the nation he was up against. They were contending with him. They despised him. They hated him. They were withstanding him every opportunity they got. So he's up against the religious leadership of the nation. Christ Jesus is contending with the religious leadership of the nation. The religious leadership of the nation. I want to inject some prophecy at this point, if I may. Would you permit me to inject some prophecy at this moment? You see, what I want you to understand, please hear my heart. Satan is the founder and the father of all systems of religion that teaches doctrine contrary to the Word of God. Now let me say that slowly. Satan is the founder and the father of every system of religion that teaches doctrine contrary to the Word of God. If you want to judge the doctrine of a specific religious movement, compare it to the Word. Does it match up with the Word of God? Does that expression of religious movement that you're involved in, does it teach you that you must be born again? And do they teach you that to be born again, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that his is the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved, and that the only way that you, a sinner, can be born again, have your sins forgiven, your past forgotten, be adopted into the family of God, and be assured of heaven when you die, is if you're born again. Any system of religion that teaches you that you can, through adherence to their system of religion, be made right with God is a lie out of hell. Let me say that as clearly and as forcibly as I can say it. Any system. I don't care what name you hang on it. I don't care what name you hang on it. Any system of religion that teaches you or teaches people that they can, by adhering to their system of religion, be made right with God is a lie out of hell. Jesus said, you must be born again. In this study, Christ is contending with religious leadership of the nation. Did you hear me? In this study we're in today, Christ is contending with the religious leadership of the nation. John 8:39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Notice what they said. They said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? He believed God. He served God. He obeyed God. Now, understand this. We were given the law. The law was given in the early days when Christ was forming the church. He had a people called Israel. He took a man named Abraham. And from that man, Abraham, he brought forth a son. And that son had two sons. And one of those sons became the father of 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes became the people of God. They were, if you will, in that sense, the original initial church. They were the family of God. Now, he gave us the law. He gave the law. Now, they were some years without the law. And then God, Moses on the mountain, gave the law. And the law was to tell the people of God what God was like, his characteristics, his holiness, and what he expected of them. Well, you have to understand that Christ came to fulfill the law. You've got so many systems of religion that are still trying to fulfill the law. Christ, God in the flesh, came to fulfill the law and did fulfill the law. I could never live up to the demands of the law. Only the one who gave the law could fulfill the demands of the law, and that was God in the flesh. God became flesh in Christ Jesus to fulfill his own law, because no group of people on the face of the earth, no individual on the face of the earth, could live up to the standards of the law. Could not do it. Could not do it then, cannot do it now. He knew they could not do it, so he initiated a series of blood sacrifices, of which Jesus Christ is the ultimate blood sacrifice. But knowing that they could not adhere to the demands of the law, knowing they were going to break the law, knowing they were going to sin, he set up a system of blood sacrifices using specific animals for that blood sacrifice. So we have the whole history of the Old Testament soaked in blood, soaked in the blood of those animals. But the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sins. The blood of animals cannot take away the sin. It takes the blood of God himself. And Jesus was God in the flesh. The Lamb of God, the word calls him. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, because God had a plan of redemption. He knew he was going to create man. And so he created man. But before he created man, he knew man would sin. And he knew he would have to offer a means by which sinful man could be reconciled to holy God. And that plan of redemption was Jesus Christ on the cross. God in the flesh, going to the cross and taking upon himself every sin of every individual who would recognize they were a sinner, receive him as their Savior, believe in him, trust in him, receive him as Lord and King and Savior. He, Christ Jesus, would become their sacrifice for their sins. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Only the blood of Christ can take away sin. Now in John chapter 8, verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. They were counting. Listen to me carefully. I'm about to nail you. They were counting on their descendancy from Abraham for God's approval. Folks, as I told you coming into this thing, there have been over 4,000 expressions of religious expression on the earth. And we have hundreds and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, depending on their identification with a system of religion to make them right with God. It won't do it. I cannot say that to you any more forcibly than I just did. I can't make it any clearer to you than I just did. Jesus said, you must be born again. You can be immersed into a system of religion. You can be baptized into a system of religion. You can be christened into a system of religion. But until you come to Christ, recognizing you're a sinner, confessing you're a sinner, and asking him in childlike faith to come into your heart, be your Lord, be your Savior, forgive you for your sins, you will die in your sins and go to hell. This religious leadership in the day of Christ, they were counting on their descendancy from Abraham for God's approval. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were truly Abraham's children, you would do as Abraham did. What did Abraham do? He believed God. He obeyed God. He believed God. He obeyed God. Jesus is telling him, if you were truly Abraham's children, you would believe. You see, Abraham believed God. He believed God's word. He believed God. He trusted God. He committed and submitted himself to God. He became known as the friend of God. Why? Because he believed. He obeyed. Friend, you cannot obey God unless you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? You may obey some system of religion. You may obey their tenets. You may obey their rules, their rituals, their regulations. You may be steeped in religion up to your eyebrows. Die and go to hell. You must be born again. I'm pushing this very hard these days. Why? I'm living in a world, and I'm living in a nation where they tell me that the church is in declension. No, no, no. What you have is many of those who said they were of Christ who were not of Christ who have pulled out of the church. They've left the church. You see, those who are truly born again, those who have truly been born again, who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, will remain faithful to God. They will remain true to God, and they will obey God. They will associate themselves with people who do know God. They will get into the Word of God. They will comprehend the Word of God. They will understand the Word of God. And they will obey the Word of God. But we have a whole world full of systems of religion that are totally opposed to God and His Word. They offer an alternate way to be made right with God. And the only way you can be made right with God, my friend, is as Jesus said, you must be born again. You have to become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus through the new birth. That eliminates your coming into the kingdom of God through a religious activity. No, 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 no. You must be born again. You see, when you're born again, you become a new creation. You hate sin. You hate everything about sin. You hate what sin has done. You hate what sin is doing. And you hate what sin's going to do tomorrow. You despise sin. And when you sin, it grieves you. And friend, if sin does not grieve you, you better check your Christianity. You better check your relationship with Christ. If that does not grieve you, I mean sin in your speech, your thoughts, your actions, your attitudes. If sin does not grieve you, then you need to question whether or not you even belong to God. You need to question, have I truly been born again? John 8:40. Jesus goes on. But now you seek to kill me? He knew what they were after. He said, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God? Abraham did not do this. You see, Jesus knew of their desire to kill him. He knew. He knew that deep down in the bottom of their heart, they wanted to kill him. He was simply speaking truth to them. And they were rejecting truth. Do you know how much truth of the Word of God has been rejected in this day? Do you know how much of the truth of the Word of God has been rejected and is being rejected? Listen, we've had whole denominations decide to put their spin on the Word of God. And in putting their spin on the Word of God, they have misrepresented the Word of God. They've misrepresented the gospel. They've misrepresented God's plan of salvation. God only knows one way that you can be made right with Him. God only knows one way that you can meet death and look death straight in the face and say, I know who you are, and I know why you're here, and I'm ready for you because I've been to the cross. I have recognized Christ Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah. I have recognized Christ Jesus as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I have recognized Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the sinless blood sacrifice on an altar called the cross. And I've been to Him, and I've confessed to Him that I was a sinner, and I have received him in simple childlike faith. I received him as my Lord and my Savior. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I am a child of the Most High God. So you death, all you can do is take me out. But I can only die once because I've been born again. Before I was born again, I was subject to die twice, a natural birth as well as a spiritual birth. You see, those who have never been born again will die a natural birth, then they will die a spiritual birth when they're consigned to hell for all of eternity. But those of us who've been born again, we will only die once. That is a natural death. Once. We do not experience the second death. Jesus knew that this religious leadership desired to kill him, and he's simply giving them the truth. He's speaking truth through them, and they were rejecting the truth. They did then. And folks, I'm telling you, it's still going on today. You've got hundreds of thousands. You've got systems of religion that reject the truth. Just like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those in the days of Christ, they rejected the truth. They did not want to come to grips with the truth. They wanted their system of religion. They wanted to hold on to their system of religion. And they were expecting their system of religion to make them right with God. Wouldn't do it. He was simply speaking truth to them. And they were rejecting the truth, as many today do. You've got the same problem today. You've got many rejecting the truth. It was true in that day, and it's still true in this day. As I speak to you today, there are those who refuse, the truth of the Word of God. They are determined by their own effort to make it to glory. You'll never make it, friend. You'll never make it. The only way you're going to get to glory, the only way you're going to die and go to heaven is if you've been born again. And that means a lot more than being a part of a religious experience. It means a lot more than being baptized or christened into a religious experience. It means you as an individual recognizing you're a sinner and coming to Christ and saying, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I'm a sinner. That's what happened in the Bible, isn't it? The truth, in many instances, is rejected. I am talking to people today who have no doubt for some time rejected the simple truth that Jesus stated, you must be born again. Why? They have rejected it in favor of a religion of personal experience. They like the ceremony. They like the dress. They like the stuff. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, was out walking through the fields teaching. He was teaching on a boat over the water. He was teaching from sitting on a rock. He was teaching on the mountainside. Listen, Jesus wasn't in the cathedrals. He wasn't around. He wasn't, if you will, inside the big cathedrals and the big Colosseum. No. He was out mixing and mingling with people, explaining the kingdom of God, explaining what it means to be born again, explaining that it was much more than a religious experience, that it is a relationship with Christ Jesus himself. In James chapter 2, 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I mentioned that to you a while ago, that Abraham got it right. He believed God. He believed God. And he was called the friend of God. Why was he called the friend of God? Because he believed God. And it was imputed. You see, the righteousness of God cannot be earned. Hear me. The righteousness of God cannot be earned. It has to be imputed. Imputed, meaning you get something you didn't deserve. I got something I didn't deserve when I was born again. I didn't deserve to have my sins forgiven. I didn't deserve to have my past forgotten. I didn't deserve to be adopted into the family of God. I didn't deserve anything. I deserved to die and go to hell, as does every sinner. That's what we deserved. We deserved to die and go to hell. But God in his love, God in his mercy, God in his grace provided a sacrifice, one sacrifice, Jesus Christ on the cross. in John 8:41. Jesus, contending with these religious leaders that day, said, and he's in the temple. He's teaching in the temple when they confront him. He says to them, you do the deeds of your father? Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. You do the deeds of your father, he said to them. What were the deeds they were doing? The deeds of Satan. They were obeying Satan. They were obeying Satan, contending with him. They were simply obeying their father, Satan. And I am saying to you that I am speaking to perhaps any number of people today who are as religious as you can be and yet unsaved, not born again. Satan is your father. Folks, this was the religious leadership of the day in the nation he was talking to. Are you listening to me? This was the religious leadership of the day. And he said to them, you are of your father, the devil. They were the children of the devil, and yet they were leading the primary religious movement of the day. That's a hard truth. That is a hard truth to recognize. But have we not seen an intrusion of the doctrine of Satan introduced into the church today? That if you do this way, and that this way, and if you adhere to our system, if you adhere to our system of religion, then you will die and go to purgatory. And when you've been in purgatory a while, you can come out and go to heaven. Find purgatory in the Bible. Write me. Tell me where you find purgatory in the Bible. It's not there. That's a lie out of hell. It's deceit. It's conning people. But we have systems of religion that offer alternate ways for you to get to glory. And they're trying to make you think that in you in some way can earn the right to go to glory. You can't do it. You must be born again. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, that religious leader, you must be born again, Nicodemus. You're up to your eyebrows in religious practice, Nicodemus. You're trying to obey all the law, Nicodemus, I know that. But you will die and go to hell because you must be born again. You have to become a new creation. A new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We've seen an intrusion of that kind of doctrine of that day into the church of today. Have we not seen major denominations compromise the Word of God? I'm afraid to compromise the Word of God, quite frankly. I will not compromise the Word of God. I'm afraid to. Why? Because I trust my Heavenly Father. I know the plan of salvation. I know what I was before. I know what I am now. I know what he brought me out of. I know what he brought me into. I know where I was before Christ, before I come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now, as a child, I tried to go through the motion, but I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand the plan of salvation. I didn't understand any of that. And the sins of the fathers in the bloodline. And later in life, I found myself steeped in sin. But Jesus, God in his love, God in his mercy, God in his grace, helped me survive and brought me to that point in time when I recognize I am a sinner and I need Christ as my Savior. And then with more understanding, I came to Christ and was born again. Political correctness has invaded the church in many instances today. Hear me now. In many instances, political correctness has, in some respects, sort of replaced God's plan of salvation. If I am politically correct, if I'm in alignment with the political party or the mood and motion of the day, that makes me right. No. You must be born again. We have whole denominations that have been affected and infected by political correctness. Let me slow down. I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm going to say it to you again. We have whole denominations, and that's why you see split in many denominations. What you're seeing going on in the Methodist denomination right now, and I bless them. I bless those who are pulling out. They're refusing to capitulate. But you have to understand, we have whole denominations that have been affected by political correctness. In contrary to the Word of God, I may be speaking to somebody today that you bought into that compromise. You need to come out of that compromise. Let me tell you something, friend. People of God do not compromise. We do not compromise the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. If God says do it, do it. If God says don't do it, don't do it. You don't have to be offensive in doing it, but you have to be faithful in doing it. It is that compromise of the church that speaks to an eventual one world order. And it's on the horizon, folks. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the next 10 years or next 20 years or next 50 years. I'm just saying to you that the Bible teaches us that there will be a one world order. And that one world order will come under the control of the spirit of Antichrist through that individual that we know as the Antichrist from the Word of God. The Scriptures predicts this. God, speaking to Daniel of the last days concerning the spirit of Antichrist, had this to say. In Daniel 7:25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. He can't persecute them if they're not here. There's a message there. Did you get the message? The only way that the Antichrist can persecute the saints of the Most High God is if the saints of the Most High God are here to be persecuted. They must not have been raptured then if he's going to persecute them. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. He, in 7:25, speaks of the Antichrist. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, and shall, in speaking pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, shall intend to change times and law. In other words, he makes wrong look right and right look wrong, and you are watching that every day of the world. You're watching this in your lifetime. You are seeing them put their stamp of approval on that which God's Word completely, totally denies and tells us not to do. Folks, for the most part, we've bought in, I mean the nations of the world have bought into the lie. They've bought into the lie. Political correctness. Oh, my soul, we're in trouble. Folks, hear me. You are looking at the dawning, and I'm not saying it's tomorrow, next week, or next year, or next 10 years. I don't know the time frame. That depends on the church, on her prayer life, her repentance, her intercession, her godly, holy, separated lifestyle. It's all in the hands of the church, if the church could realize that. Paul, speaking to the church in Thessalonica, warned of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Not a catching away, not a rapture of the church, but a falling away, a backsliding, if you will. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, who is that? The Antichrist. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I fear a great deal of the church is asleep in these changing times. I fear that too many pastors are afraid they're going to offend somebody. If you preach the gospel, if you preach the word of God, you are going to offend. You may as well decide that right now. You're going to offend if you preach the gospel. Now, Jesus is contending with the religious leadership of his day. He goes on in John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Jesus said, now this is the religious leadership. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Folks, what was true then is true now. If God were your Father, Jesus said, you would love me. If God is your Father, you will love Jesus. You will love Jesus. You will obey Jesus. You will submit to his lordship in your life. You'll be willing to die to self that he might live his life through you and manifest himself through you if he is your Father. If God is your Father, you will love Jesus and you will seek to please him every day of your life, not just on Sunday. How do you seek to please him? By obeying him. By obeying him. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said that in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, he reduced the commandments to two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Regardless of who your neighbor is, regardless of what race they are of, regardless of the dialect they speak, if they're your neighbor, if they're your neighbor. Now we come to John 8:43. Jesus goes on, why do you not understand my speech? Now he's talking to religious leadership of the nation, folks. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. That is true in so many religious movements today. The leadership themselves do not understand the word of God. And they teach something other than the word of God. These religious leaders were unable to understand what Christ was saying. And how many today, how many in positions of religious leadership are there today? They really do not understand the word of God. They misrepresent the word of God. They misread the word of God. They misteach the word of God. Why? Because they do not understand. And for the most part, they have bought into a system of religion rather than the kingdom of God. Yes, I know this is strong medicine, but it's the word of God. How many sit under the word and do not understand it? How many, week after week after week, sit under the word of God, if the word of God is being taught, and yet do not understand it? They don't grasp it. They don't grasp it. Remember in this message, he's talking to the religious leadership of the nation. Jesus is talking to the religious leadership of the nation. He continues to speak to the religious leadership. In John 8:44, he continues to speak to the religious leadership. You are of your father the devil. Whoa, hello. Jesus is talking to the religious leadership of the nation in that day. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Folks, he could say the same thing today to a great deal of the, quote, religious leadership, unquote, in the world today. He could say to them, you are of your father the devil. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Jesus goes on. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Did you hear that? Do you realize how many expressions of religion in the world today, there's no truth? There is no truth in them. There's no truth in them that will stand up before God and the word of God. He goes on. You're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He says to the religious leadership, you are of your father the devil. Folks, the religious leadership he's speaking to, and the desires of your father you want to do. Again, he continues speaking to the religious leadership of the nation in verse 45. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. You won't listen to the truth. You won't hear the truth. You could not understand or grasp the truth. They couldn't. They could not understand the truth. They could not grasp the truth. They were eat up with religion and couldn't understand the truth. Let me ask you this. How well do you understand the truth? The truth of the gospel. The truth of the word of God. How well do you understand it? How well do you grasp the truth of God? In John 8:32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He goes on talking to them now in John 8:46. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoa! Do you understand what he's saying to them? Which of you can point out one sin in my life? They were watching him intensely. Intensely. He says, which of you can convict me of one sin? Point out one sin in my life. Would you ask that question of those who know you best? Would you be willing to say to family members, to friends, to co-workers, can you point out a sin in my life? In my speech, my attitudes, my actions, my reactions, who I am, what I am? Jesus goes on, and if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? If you cannot, why not believe me? If you can't point out any error, why don't you believe me? You see, those opposing him could not identify a sin in his life. He's challenged them. He challenged them. He said, point out a sin in my life. You watch me intensely. You watch me closely. Well, point out a sin in my life if you know one. He was closely, intensely watched. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They could not point out one sin. John 8:47. Jesus goes on. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you're not of God. Folks, he is talking to the religious leadership of the day. And how true is that today, in our day, in how many nations do we have religious leadership that themselves do not know God? Listen to what he says. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. The major religious leadership of the nation. He says you don't know God. Those who are of God can hear God's word with a willingness to obey the word of God. Did you hear me? Those who are of God, they can hear God's word. They want to hear it. They want to obey it. You see, discipleship is about getting to know and understand and obey the word of God. That's what discipleship is all about. It's getting to know the word of God, understand the word of God, and obey the word of God. Jesus goes on in John 8:48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Aren't we correct in saying you're not truly a Hebrew? In reality, you're not a Jew. You're a half-breed. That's what they're saying to him. We're saying to you that you're really not a Jew, but you're a half-breed. And you're demonized. They are calling the Messiah God in the flesh. They're calling him a half-breed, and they're saying to him that he is demonized. Folks, you've got that same activity in some religious movements today. You have some of that same attitude in some of the religious movements of today. Jesus answered and said, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Jesus replies, he says, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm not demonized. I honor my Father. My Father is Jehovah God, and I honor my Father, Jehovah God, and you dishonor me. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how systems of religion can misunderstand truth and distort truth. And let me remind you, I push no denomination. I was ordained as a Southern Baptist. God told me I had to go non-denominational because I'm crossing denominational lines. You must be born again. I'm a child of God. I've been adopted into the family of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. When my heart beats the last beat, bingo, I'll be in heaven. And then I'll understand it all. I hope you can say that. John 8:50. Jesus goes on, and I seek not mine own glory. There's one that seeks and judges. Now in the Amplified, it reads it this way. Jesus says, however, I'm not seeking glory for myself. There's one who seeks glory for me and judges those who dishonor me. In other words, Jesus tells him he's not seeking to glorify himself. I wonder how many of us can say that. We're always trying to glorify ourselves in one way or another, aren't we? Come on, be honest. Be honest. We're always trying to identify ourselves or glorify ourselves in one way or the other. For some, it may be this and the other, it may be that. But if we're not careful, we're always trying to do that. Don't we try and, in many ways, be honest. Don't we somehow try to glorify ourselves until we become sensitive to that? Once we become sensitive to the fact that we are in the process of trying to glorify ourselves, then we can start getting a handle on it. Jesus goes on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. Why? He said, you must be born again. Remember, you must be born again. If you don't want to see death, you must be born again. Yes, those of us who are born again will pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but we will not. We one split second after we die, we are more alive then in glory than we've ever been in all of our life. And we're just waiting for the consummation of all things, the new heavens, the new earth, when we will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. Glory, hallelujah. Remember in John chapter 3, in speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said to Nicodemus, now he was a religious leader. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, you got to be born again. If you hope to experience the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to recognize you're a sinner, recognize Christ as a Savior, put all your faith in Him. You can't put any faith in Mary. You can't put any faith in Peter. You can't put any faith in your religious expression. You can't put any faith in your denomination. Christ. Christ went to the cross. Christ became sin. He who knew no sin became sin, so that those of us who were sinners could have our sins put to death in Him. John 8:51, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he will never see death. They did not have the ability to comprehend, to understand spiritual truth. Many today, I'm talking to people today, many today suffer from that same problem. They simply cannot truly understand spiritual truth. John 8:52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets, and you say, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death. They didn't have the ability to understand spiritual truth. How many today do not have the ability to understand spiritual truth? I wonder how many I'm talking to today that do not have the ability to understand spiritual truth. Many are caught up in a system of religion that denies the spirit of truth, if you will. John 8:53, they go on, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Now remember, folks, these are religious leaders. They're unable to comprehend spiritual truth. And I am saying to you, the world is full today of many in positions of religious leadership who do not understand spiritual truth. Oh, it's so prevalent in the world today. John 8:54. Jesus answered. Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He's your Father. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say He's your Father. John 8:55, yet you have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say I know Him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know Him, and I keep His sayings. In the Amplified Version, yet you do not know Him, but I know Him fully. If I said I did not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him and keep His word. John 8:56, in the Amplified, your father Abraham greatly rejoiced to see my day, my incarnation. He saw it, and he was delighted. Now John 8:57, then said the Jews unto him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Folks, these people did not have ears to hear. This was the religious leadership, and they did not have ears to hear, like much of the religious community of today. They simply did not have ears to hear. Many today do not have ears to hear. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus expressed His pre-incarnation as God. He expressed in that statement His pre-incarnation as God. They didn't have ears to hear. They couldn't understand, like so much of the religious community today. They didn't have ears to hear, like so much of the religious community of today. John 8:59. Then they took up stones to cast at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through them, the midst of them, and so passed by. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They're through talking. They're through listening. They pick up stones to stone him. He, in a supernatural way, passes through them unobserved and leaves the temple. As I finish this message, I have to ask myself, was Nicodemus in that group that day? And is that what prompted him to go seek Jesus at night, wanting to know what he had to do to be made right with God? I wonder. I wonder. Heavenly Father, take the message, I pray. Use it, I pray, to glorify yourself. Advance the kingdom of God. And, oh, Father God, help some who've heard this message receive the truth of this message. Be born again, if they're not born again, and be willing to receive Christ as a Savior. Be born again and be adopted into the family of God. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.